Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Happy that you guys are hanging out with me here on this Monday. Hopefully everybody had a fantastic weekend in the NFL or just a great weekend in general. Sheldon Keefe still have a job here as of this morning. Maple Leafs, another loss last night. What's going on with the Leafs? Like, I'm not trying to poke fun, only a little bit, a couple pokes here and there, but not good in Toronto. These are games that they should be winning against mediocre hockey teams. Another loss last night. Those hanging out with us, smash the like button if you can. That would do us a great solid. Of course, the show is also available on iTunes and Spotify. Clean shaven, that is right, George. I don't know if anybody saw, like, we do TikToks now. I mean, I do TikToks now. I'm not a big TikTok guy. I don't know too much about them. So I've been doing some here and there, just like some bets. So if you're a big TikTok person, you guys, maybe follow our account, look for some TikTok stuff. And I'm dressing up today as like the 2000 Chris Meany, Anthem Sports Entertainment. You guys, we can go back 10 years ago, the clean shaven Meany, baby Meany in the house. So over the weekend, I dressed up as Joker and I had to shave my face for the paint and the things you do to make your partner happy. She was pretty stoked that clean shaven, makeup on. She dressed me up pretty good. Had the green hair. She was Harley Quinn. So we went to a Halloween party over the weekend and I did the Joker thing. And when I dressed up as Joker, I was like, hey, maybe I'll do a TikTok here. And I did a TikTok video on our account. AJ Brown over 66.5 receiving yards. I think we got that one. Three touchdowns for AJ Brown over the weekend. And then this morning he tweets out that he's headed to for a drug test. The NHL, the NFL reached out to him. Drug test. Just your random, drug test after a three touchdown game. I guess the NFL didn't like him pointing at the receivers that he burned in Pittsburgh there yesterday. But yeah, clean shaven Meany. It feels weird. Don't love it. Not a huge fan, but we're going to roll with it. In fact, I really dropped the ball. I wanted to dress up as Joker today. Today being Halloween, I was going to do it with Jake. Jake put the Halo helmet on for like 30 minutes during his show. He could hardly breathe. Catch All In Football, of course, on Game Plus Network or FTN Network YouTube page as well. And I just couldn't get up to do it, guys, to be honest. Like, D left this morning at 5 in the morning. I would have had to gotten up at 4:30 to get her to do my makeup again for the Joker thing. So it's clean shaven. It's November tomorrow, so maybe we'll do a little Movember and we'll get right nuts on this show. But welcome in. We appreciate you guys. We're going to go over week 8, some takeaways from the NFL season. It's game 3 of the World Series happening tonight in Philadelphia. That series is all knotted up at a game apiece. And I think this is honestly where the Astros start to take over, even though Citizens Bank is going to be rocking. They haven't lost a game yet in Philly throughout the postseason. I mean, the Phillies are showing us that they can certainly hang around with this Astros team. Lance McCullers getting the start here for the Houston Astros, and then Noah Syndergaard on the bump for the Phillies. And I don't expect him to go too long in this game. Usually, all year long, if we've been talking about, Syndergaard when he takes the ball, we like stolen base props against him. But I just don't know how long he's going to last. Like, we could get a Jose Altuve or a Kyle Tucker stolen base attempt if he lasts a couple innings and he gets in trouble in the first little bit. Syndergaard has been, it's been some highs and some lows when it comes to him this season. I thought, at the start of the year, fantastic with the Halos. And then he kind of cooled off a little bit. And then in Philly, it was just like sort of the same thing, really inconsistent with him. He doesn't strike out a lot of guys. He's pitching to contact. So this is where I think the Astros kind of take control of the series, just because they have a deeper rotation and I really like their bullpen. So Lance McCullers is like a significant, even though he's had his moments too, where he walks some guys and give up a bomb here and there, his ERA is much worse on the road than it is at home. And he does struggle against some righty bats. So some righties could certainly get to him today, but I just feel like that's a huge advantage to roll out McCullers as your game 3 starter, having other guys inside your bullpen. I mean, the Phillies have really thrown out a lot of arms in the bullpen over the first couple games of the series as well. But here we go. Deesh, yeah, thank goodness you didn't make that trade, right? Tony Pollard. Although I wonder, is Pollard a sell high candidate now? Because I think we can all agree he is more efficient than Zeke. Zeke wouldn't have had a buck 14 on whatever Pollard had yesterday. I got it written down here. I mean, you guys are all aware. You guys are all super sharp. You know the numbers. But Pollard, yeah, 131 on 14 carries, 3 touchdowns. Zeke would never. No, not this day and age in Zeke, right? I mean, 4.1 yards per attempt. He hasn't been that efficient over the past couple of years. But I don't know if Zeke's going to fully go away. I don't. Like, you have the Jerry Jones thing. You paid him. He's stubborn. He's loyal to his guys. You have all that. I hear it all. I'm watching the game yesterday, too. Tony Pollard looked good. I mean, he's looked like the more efficient back over the past couple years in this offense. He didn't get the targets that he normally gets when Zeke is on the field, but sometimes that just happens, right? You step into the Zeke role, Pollard, that is, steps into the Zeke role. Who steps into the Pollard role? Another back steps in there, gets a couple catches and things like that. But Zeke is going to come back. Like, he is going to come back. The boys are on a bye this week. You're going to come out of the bye. That's 2 weeks off. Watching that game yesterday, I didn't think Pollard was as efficient as a blocker protecting Dak and company, picking up blitzes the way that Zeke does. So say what you want about Zeke running between the tackles and he doesn't have that same sort of burst. They trust him near the goal line, right? We saw a couple weeks ago where he had a couple red zone opportunities over Pollard, which he converted for touchdowns. And he's going to be on the field in those certain situations, especially if the matchup, if they don't dominate the line of scrimmage, he's going to be a guy that's going to be on the field. So I think Deesh now is the time to kind of flip him, sell high in redraft, in dynasty. I think, wheels up, he looks pretty good. We'll dive into some stock up, some stock down players. I think you got to be greedy there. You're looking for a wide receiver too. Maybe somebody that didn't have a great week. We like DJ Moore on the show again, another good week from him. PJ Walker is second in the NFL in air yards over the last 2 weeks. He is targeting his best wide receiver, and that is DJ Moore. Big touchdown from DJ Moore. Although he really did break my heart when he threw that helmet off, because I had Carolina on the money line, and in my pool where you pick your own spreads, and if you overshoot your spread, you don't get any points. I had Carolina by 1 point. He gets that touchdown at the end. They kick the extra point. Maybe they win by 1 point. Instead, he rips off his helmet like a rookie. Not living in, act like you've been there before. It's a silly penalty. I think these guys should be able to celebrate in the end zone. They want to rip off their helmet. Fine. It is a penalty after all. He should be one of the leaders on the team. Keep your helmet on. And then maybe they kick that extra point. But ultimately, in overtime, they end up missing kind of a chip shot field goal anyways, which they would have had. The penalty pushed them back to like the 45, 47, and they missed that extra point. Goes to overtime. Rest is history. Falcons lead the NFC South. Just wild stuff. NHL, 3 games on the ice tonight. We're going to go over that. We also are going to take a look at week 4 of the fantasy hockey season. There are a handful of games playing 4 games this week. Get the most of your moves. Article and updates on fantasy hockey rankings will be live this afternoon. A lot happening today, this afternoon. Got a podcast with Scott Spratt here. Got a DFS article, the fantasy hockey article. I am going to be with Sam tonight, who trick or treat. The guy won a bunch of money last night, DFS. So I am going to soak up all the information that he has like a sponge, and we are going to preview the Bengals and the Browns from a DFS standpoint tonight. Today on this show, we'll talk about the game. Got a couple props that I like as well. Pretty happy with how the weekend went from an NFL standpoint. I think we nailed almost everything in terms of props and picks. I think we went 3 for 3 on the totals. The spreads, we were pretty sharp. We had Washington as a dog to win the game. And the one thing that we didn't get right, and does any of it matter? Because I was on the Raiders yesterday, and they put up 0 points. They didn't even run a play in the Saints' territory until about 4 minutes left in the game, and it was when Carr was on the bench. So, that, not good. You can nail all the props and all the picks you want, but when you pick a team to win on the money line and they score 0 points, you can throw it all out the window. But we'll try to have a strong start to the week here. Happy Halloween, everybody. We're going to be back in a couple, and we'll start with Browns and Bengals next on Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Keep it locked. Welcome back in Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network, our FTN Network YouTube page as well. Chris Meany here hanging out with you. So I have a couple of notes. Tomorrow we're going to dive into wide receiver running back rankings, some DFS streams, some quarterback streams. We can touch on it in this show too as well. If you guys have any questions, you want to get ahead of it pretty early. Giants are interested in trading for Jerry Jeudy. Yeah, Daily Handle in the house. You're going to hear a lot of these reports. A big win for the Broncos. I think if they lost that game in London, then you would hear Jerry Jeudy, you would hear Chubb, you'd hear certain trade reports, maybe, selling some guys, but they probably feel like they're still right there. You know, it's a rookie head coach, and there's been some growing pains clearly with this Broncos squad. But yeah, I mean, maybe they don't have any ties to Jeudy there as a former first round pick. It's a new system in place in Denver. The Giants do need a wide receiver desperately. Again, watching yesterday, and I think, you know, Kyle said in the house, Kyle Woods, you know, is OB Wandell, not one with the force. That's pretty good there, sir. Yeah, I thought we'd see a little bit more. I had him in the prop, our betting tracker over 4.5 grabs at plus money. Did not even come close to that one. One was one of the few, actually. I really feel pretty good about the week that was in the NFL. And like I said, hopefully we can have a strong start here. We did get a lot right on this show. Derrick Henry, again, my goodness, is like 4 straight games, 200 rushing yards against the Texans. He almost had 100 in his first like 5 carries. The Texans just can't stop the run. And Derrick Henry, another 32 attempts. He continues to eat them up. Deontay Foreman, we were all over in terms of 16.5 carries at plus money. His in our free bet article over the weekend or over the week on Friday that I write, we had him for the carries. We had him for over 66.5 rushing yards, over 75 plus money. Sprinkle a little bit on over 100 plus money and for him to find the end zone as well. I would not be selling high on him, but there are a few takeaways from stock reports that are stock ups. He is one of them, right? 26, a buck 18, 3. We've talked a lot on this show, even heading into the season, that the handcuff to Christian McCaffrey was Deontay Foreman last year. He filled in just perfectly, beautifully for Derrick Henry last year. And looking back to, you know, last week where you had 100 yards again, and then last year, where when he filled in for Henry, so there's 6 games where he's had 15 plus carries over the past year and a half, and he has topped 100 yards in all of them but one. When he gets the ball, I mean, he's efficient. The one thing that I thought he would get were a few targets and a few catches. He did not get that. And again, it probably just goes back to what I said in the last block, when somebody like Tony Pollard is kind of in that third down situation and not dominating all the first and second down reps, like Zeke, kind of like with Carolina last week, we saw Chuba Hubbard kind of get those first and second down opportunities, sprinkle in a little bit of Foreman and then third down situations Foreman, which really wasn't the case yesterday. But he is the guy for me. I think he has more upside than Chuba Hubbard. I would not be selling high on him. You know, even when Chuba comes back, we could see like a 60-40, but Foreman is just, he proved, I think, yesterday, like he's just really good. And you know, good for him. He's, you know, one of the running backs that has come back off an Achilles injury over the past couple of years, and you know, just really efficient running between the tackles. And he kind of reminds me a little bit like Derrick Henry, right? He's a big body back and kind of runs over guys. So I think Carolina has something in Foreman. So hold on to him. You know, he's not going to be ranked as a top 12 running back if Chuba's there, but it's going to be pretty close. Like, he's a high end RB2. Mentioned Pollard stock up, mentioned potentially selling high on him. Travis Etienne, right? Another game from Etienne. Obviously, this was the first without James Robinson. He was amazing. 24 carries, 156 yards. His rushing yard prop was 66.5. He did it in the first quarter. I think on his third run, he had like a 40-yard run or a 41-yard run. He just showed how explosive he is, catching balls out of the backfield as well. Yeah, I mean, the sky's the limit for ETN moving forward. I think Ramondre Stevenson, uptick for him. This is the second game back for Damian Harris. Harris was, he got the start, you know, if that means anything. He got the first couple carries, but Stevenson was more efficient, and Stevenson had 8 targets and 7 grabs for 72 yards. He led the Patriots in that category. He's the man there, I think. He's, you know, Harris is in the way. Does Harris get traded here this week? Potentially. I could see that happening. You know, he's on the last year of his deal. The Pats don't have a history of like re-upping on these running backs. They kind of just roll through. You know, they'll go in the draft and they'll draft a couple other guys or sign somebody. So Stevenson, to me, looked prime just to dominate a lot of the touches moving forward. And this is a run for his team. And Mac Jones, again, just a couple weird throws from him yesterday. Zach Wilson looks awful too. I mean, the scouts actually compared him to Patrick Mahomes. It's crazy. I saw some throws too in college where it looked like it was Mahomes, a sidearm thing and things like that. But man, he does not look good. And another takeaway from the Jets, since we're on them, I mean, it's a crowded backfield. You know, Carter didn't look that great running between the tackles. And then Robinson's just his first game. He was really only with the team for a minute, so I didn't expect him to be too involved. Maybe he is this coming week, and then the Jets have a bye. But this coming week is a game against the Bills. They're going to be massive underdogs in this game. And Carter did have that third down role. He's catching balls out of the backfield. I would expect him to still have that role moving forward, where Robinson is like the lead. maybe some goal line opportunities when the Jets do get up there. And that Carter is the guy who catches five or six passes. Like, I'll be very interested in Carter's receiving yard prop, his catch prop moving forward, or especially this week. And then, you know, I just wouldn't start any of them. Like, Carter will probably rank ahead of Robinson, but in a PPR league, that's probably where his value lies, like as a flex guy. But this seems like a potential mess. The Broncos backfield seems like a potential mess. Latavius looked better than Gordon. They both had touchdowns. Latavius had more run than Gordon again, but it does seem like a full on committee. The Rams, we talked about it on the show briefly. It really does pay to, you know, to be an FTN. There was a conversation midweek in our Discord channel about Daryl Henderson not playing Henderson and Ronnie Rivers potentially just getting some run. I just feel like this is a McVay thing. You know, it's the offensive line for sure. Offensive line does not look good. It's not the same offensive line that won the Super Bowl. In fact, nobody is on. I think there's one player that's on that offensive line that won the Super Bowl. So I don't know, like, if it mattered. But like Jake said on his show this morning, Cam Akers could have did that and maybe a little bit more. So there's some reports that if they don't find a trading partner for Akers, that Akers would get back on the field and play. But I just don't feel like McVay likes Daryl Henderson that much. Like, they drafted him in the third round a couple years ago. And then the following year, they drafted Cam Akers in the third round. And then when Akers went down, they got Sony Michel. And then they drafted Kerwin Williams this past year. You know, you're seeing Ronnie get some run. Malcolm Brown gets in there last week, 2 weeks ago. It's a couple touches here and there. It's a mess. I don't think you want any of them. I wouldn't rush the waiver wire for Ronnie this week. I think the guy to own is Kerwin Williams. Nice little young buck in there. Catch a couple balls into the backfield potentially, but ultimately this offensive line is not good. And Cooper Kupp, it sounds like he dodged a bullet, but my goodness, if Cooper Kupp misses some time, what is going to happen to the Rams? Allen Robinson had a couple moments yesterday where he caught a couple passes. I think he gave you, what, 7-8 points? Let's consider it a win, considering what he's been doing for you. Tyler Higbee left that game with a neck injury. It's just the Rams are trending down considerably. So messes in Denver, in LA, and in Washington. I think in Washington, we saw a little bit more Antonio Gibson yesterday. That was the first time that Brian Robinson hadn't dominated the snap since he was, you know, just started a couple weeks ago. The matchup was tough, right? The Colts, we had Leonard back in the lineup. He's the heartbeat of the defense in Indy. So that, you know, it wasn't a good spot for Brian Robinson, we'll say that. But Gibson is a guy that is getting some run as a pass catcher. And yeah, he's not fully gone away. So the mess is stock up, you know, not a lot in terms of wide receivers. I think, you know, Michael Gallup showed up, not significantly, but he didn't give you a zero. This is something that we tried to stress on the show. Now the Cowboys have a bye, you know, Gallup. I'm interested in him moving forward out of the bye. Dalton Schultz, it was, you know, it's an uptick for everybody inside this offense with Dak back. So guys that were dropped and, you know, were underwhelming at the start of the season, like Gallup, who missed a bit of time with an injury, but, you know, good to see him back and running just as many routes really and snaps as CeeDee Lamb, and then Schultz as well. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is a stud. I hear the noise from people. I'm out on Hopkins. I mean, I don't know how you can be out on Hopkins. I would not sell high on this guy. He's played two games. He has 27 targets, 22 grabs, 262 yards, and a touchdown. You want to start there, Adish? I would start there, but I don't think you're going to get Hopkins. Like, I wouldn't be trading Hopkins for Tony Pollard, but you're looking for a wide receiver. Yeah, you should be looking for maybe somebody outside the top 12. I don't know if you're going to get, you know, a top 12 wide receiver, a true wide receiver one for Tony Pollard, because I think a lot of people will be thinking as well that Zeke will come back after the bye and it will be crowded again. But ultimately, people do like Tony Pollard, right? I mean, he's been the more efficient back over the past couple of years, and people have been putting it out there in the atmosphere, in the universe, to get Tony Pollard a little bit more run. So, I mean, it could happen. He deserves it. Like I said, I mean, I don't think Zeke has a game like that in him, but yeah, I mean, try to sell high and see what you can get. Is Matt Barzell the answer for the Islanders? Ooh, hockey talk. Blankenstein, love it. That's a ridiculous contract, in my opinion. We got some hockey stuff a little bit later on. We'll go two segments. We'll go over week four here of the fantasy hockey season, and we'll have some shot props tonight. Three games on the ice. The Islanders are not one of them. Yeah, you know, Matthew Barzell is, I think he's a decent player. I think he's, you know, he's super flashy. He's got a lot of speed. I'd like to see him shoot the puck a little bit more. He's more of a pass first guy, but I don't like that contract. I think it's, I think it's a slight overpay. I'd say, I don't know, like there's a lot of questions I have with the Islanders. Like they're not a great offensive squad. Sorokin is phenomenal. You know, when Anders Lee and Barzal aren't scoring, you know, I think Brock Nelson's underrated. I think he's good. Oliver Wahlstrom, I think is a nice little young player. He's got a heavy shot. It's nice to see him get get some opportunity inside the top six. But ultimately, no, I don't believe Barzal is Barzal's a true number one center. From a fantasy standpoint, he's always a fade for me because he doesn't really do a whole lot for you. If you're in a straight points league, he's okay. Bill's trap game. I don't know. Like yesterday, they didn't cover, but against the Jets, I think they'll be all right. There was Rondell Moore. I wanted to mention him too, since we're on the Arizona Cardinals. Just Rondell Moore was one of those guys that was dropped last week. Gallup was one of those guys that was dropped last week. I thought that those drops were mistakes. Rondell showed up 8 targets, 7 grabs, 92 yards. You know, somebody else has to catch passes besides DeAndre Hopkins. They didn't try to run the ball all that much against Mini. Mini pushed the pace, right? They were able to score. And I think that's why we saw a lot of passing attempts from Kyler and things like that. But moving forward, Seattle, LA Rams, San Fran, Chargers, you know, out of the bye, there's some matchups there that they can throw the ball a little bit. So Rondell is going to be sprinkled in. He's going to be the hot waiver wire pickup after everyone dropped him. And I get it. You know, flex appeal moving forward. And then somebody in deeper formats that, you know, it's 2 games now he's kind of caught my eye is Terrace Marshall, former LSU guy. I think we mentioned him last week as a potential deep league ad, but not to start him. 9 targets yesterday from him and a career high in terms of snaps, running routes, 87 yards on 4 grabs. He had a nice catch on that final drive before PJ Walker threw it up down the field to DJ Moore for that touchdown at the end. So Terrace Marshall, I don't know if we're there yet to start him, but he's certainly somebody that, you know, is a good wide receiver at LSU. And there was some issues, reports that he couldn't pick up the playbook. It's a new coaching regime. Let's see what they have in Terrace Marshall. Like if I'm Carolina, I'm wanting to see what we have in Terrace Marshall. So he's a guy that I think will probably be the number 2 option in this offense, a team that should be playing from behind quite a bit in the second half of the season. He's somebody maybe to keep an eye on as well. We will finally get to the Browns and the Bengals in this next block. Guys, if you have any questions at all, anything, we'll try to find we'll try to find somebody here, a couple targets for you before the show is over at the wide receiver position. I got some picks and some props for tonight's Monday Night Football game. We'll be back here in a couple. Welcome back in. Josh's Denzel Mims is a deep sleeper. Yeah, Mims is actually, he's interesting. He was second on the team in snaps and second among wide receivers yesterday on the Jets in routes run. Tyler Conklin had one more route run than him and a pretty decent game. He found the end zone there, I think a couple times, right? No, once for sure. Elijah Moore is, they're just not using him, right? You just go ahead and drop him. Or if you want to wait in, you're in a deeper league. I have him a couple shares in Dynasty Leagues. Clearly, I'm not going to drop him in those formats. But, you know, maybe you hang out one more week and they trade this guy. If they traded him to, a team like Green Bay or just anybody that needs help at the wide receiver position. I mean, he's a good wide receiver. He probably needs to change the scenery. And if I'm the Jets too, I probably want to trade him anyways. Like he basically bailed on his team. You know, they had a winning season, second year head coach, second year quarterback, just be patient, kid. You know what I mean? Like who are you to be demanding things? So I could see the Jets, you know, just moving on from him. Yeah, they made him active, but he didn't even play. I think I have it written down here. How many snaps this guy had? 10 snaps. I mean, he ran 7 routes. He had 10 snaps. I mean, Jeff Smith, who the heck is Jeff Smith? Jeff Smith had more snaps and routes. Braxton Berrios, right? And Mims, to your point, just behind Garrett Wilson, if, Corey Davis misses a little bit of time here. Yeah, I think he's, the post-hype sleeper? Is that what they call him these days? As a guy that I think was drafted in the second or third? I believe second, right? I thought the Packers were going to take him at the end of the first, and they passed on him, of course, like they do every other wide receiver. And, I mean, Christian Watson. I think Watson was going to get some run yesterday, guys. You know, Dubs had a couple nice catches, but Aaron Rodgers was talking the other day on the Pat McAfee show when he was kind of like saying it was time for new blood and new pieces. And I think he was saying Christian Watson. And you could see the face when he went down with that concussion, you could see the face on LaFleur and Rodgers. They just seemed bummed. They probably felt bad for the kid because he's dealing with so many injuries. He's dealt with so many injuries. to start the season, to start his NFL career. It looked like they were going to get him going and get him involved. And then that happened. And you could just see the disappointment on both guys' faces there with Christian Watson. I'm sure he's disappointed as well. But yeah, Mims is maybe a deep sleeper potentially. I just don't trust this offense. I don't like it at all. I mean, it's brutal. Honestly, like the Jets offense, the defense has played great all year long. The heartbeat was Breece Hall. They got to try to establish a run with Robinson and Carter, or they're not going to get anything done. They're not going to score any points. So I don't feel like it's a trap. Like the Bills are favored by 13 points. I mean, I'd be lucky if the Jets get 13 points against the Bills, honestly. Like I just don't see it happening at all. And Josh Allen just came off his worst game. I doubt he has another bad game. I remember him going into New York at MetLife last year, though. Was it last year or the year before? And he really struggled. He didn't throw any touchdowns. They settled for a bunch of field goals. I think they won that game, you know, at the end. But it's just Zach Wilson does not look good at all. Mims is like you pick him up and you hope, right? That he could give you a little bit something. I was just looking in the break, Deesh, at some potential wide receivers that maybe you could grab. You never get Devontae Adams for Tony Pollard, but Devontae Adams now, you know, last week, just yesterday, just one catch on 3 yards. And honestly, he's scoring touchdowns, which is kind of saving his days, but I would imagine the Adams owners like probably a little bit ticked off, right? I mean, week two. 8 fantasy points, 2 catches, 12 yards, has a touchdown. So he gets 8 fantasy points. It's it. You know, week 3, 5 for 36, has a touchdown. So he gets 11 fantasy points. He does have 3 100 yard games. One game, he had 124 yards on just 3 catches. Houston was a good game for him, 8 for 95. And then yesterday, just the 5 targets to try to find a way to get him involved. I saw an end around that didn't work out for him. You know, you could chalk up yesterday's loss to everyone being sick, flu, potentially, make excuses all you want, then going over and playing, you know, a 1 o'clock game, which is really early for them, like a 9 a.m. start, you know, but there was no, the Saints are missing a lot of guys like Marshawn Lattimore didn't play. And there's a lot of defensive players that weren't there. Could you trade Pollard in something and get Adams? I would start there. Other wide receivers, I'll kind of throw at you. I still like Christian Kirk. You know, 7 targets, 3 grabs. He hasn't been as hot as he was at the start of the season, but Las Vegas this week, which is amazing for him. That's a really good spot. KC, they're going to have to throw the football against KC. Then you got the bye week 11. And then after the bye, you got the Ravens, the Lions, and the Titans. Those are all really good matchups before it gets a little tougher. Week 15, first week playoffs. You got the Cowboys and then the Jets week 16. He'll have to deal with Sauce probably. Although Kirk has been playing a lot in the slot. Maybe Sauce will move around a bit, but he actually probably be on Marvin Jones, but nonetheless, nice matchups. Really, the next 5 are primetime matchups: Raiders, Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, and Titans. Deontay Johnson had to deal with Slay yesterday. He's got the bye this week. Out of the bye, they got the Saints, the Bengals, the Colts, the Falcons, the Ravens, the Panthers. Real nice playoff schedule. Week 14, Ravens, and week 15 into the playoffs, Panthers, followed by the Raiders, followed by the Ravens. Yeah, quarterback play is not great. It's not a good offensive squad. They're not getting any success running the football. They didn't even really try to run the football yesterday against the Eagles. And listen, if you're going to there's one weakness on the Eagles defense, I would say it is their run defense. In years past, it's been phenomenal. But using some of our tools like gash rate, that's, you know, percentage of runs against you that have gone at least 10 plus yards. They're inside the top 5. Teams have been running on Philadelphia. They didn't try to run yesterday at all. Najee Harris had 4 carries for 0 yards in the first half, and they're throwing the football. So he's getting a lot of targets and a lot of volume. He's not doing a lot with them. He's had 76 targets. 43 grabs, though. But the last couple of weeks, 9, 10, 7, 13 targets. He's had double-digit targets 5 times this season. So maybe out of the bye, he's probably a guy that you can get. I mean, he's been dropped. That one seems like you're losing that deal, trading Pollard for Deontay. Like, to me personally, I feel like you're losing it. But if Zeke does come back out of the bye and it's a bit of a split again, Pollard goes back to being a flex play for you, where Deontay could maybe be a wide receiver 3 for you. Volume is key. I still like Cortland Sutton. I think he could definitely be had. It's been 4-3 dud games in a row for him and got the bye. But out of the bye, again, a really nice schedule for the Broncos moving forward. Tennessee, Las Vegas, Carolina, Baltimore, KC, Arizona. Those like some pretty nice matchups there for Cortland Sutton. Ken Walker is the next Nick Chubb. Josh has got takes here, and I like it. I don't know. Nick Chubb's, I think, the best pure runner in the NFL. But yeah, as a guy who's probably going to get 15 plus carries week in and week out, not catching a lot of balls out of the backfield. Kenneth Walker's a really good running back. He's a nice running back. He wasn't super efficient in a really good spot yesterday, but I believe he found the end zone yet again. What's his 4 straight games? Kenneth Walker's a nice running back. AS in the house. What would you do if you had CEH and Singletary? I need a wide receiver. Yeah. I mean, you're probably not going to get much for CEH just because, you know, the Isaiah Pacheco report last week. It's a crowded backfield. It's very split. Like, McKinnon's still getting some love. CEH is catching some balls out of the backfield. He's been super efficient inside the red zone, catching some touchdowns and things like that. So I don't know if you can get a strong wide receiver for any of those guys. Heck, you probably could get Kirk or Cortland Sutton, maybe, in place of Singletary. Singletary's been dominating the snaps when it's been close games, but this Bills schedule is so soft down the stretch of the season that I think we'll see Cook. I think we'll see some Cook, honestly. Like, they drafted this guy in the second round. They wanted a pass-catching running back. This is not a shot at Singletary, because Singletary, you know, he's been pretty good. I mean, 14 for 67. He's not a guy that's going to get 20 carries. I mean, he's been pretty efficient with the work that he's gotten. But listen to this schedule down the stretch here. Jets this week, we already talked about their 13-point favorites. Then the Vikings, Cleveland, Detroit, New England, the Jets again, Miami, Chicago, Cincy. It's a really, really nice schedule. And we've only seen Cook get run in the second half of games because they're just up in all these games. So I'm a little hesitant. Personally, I would be hesitant to buy Singletary, but he is linked to the Bills. You know, you can talk about the fact that he has been the guy dominating some of the snaps. He's been getting some of the carries. His touchdown upside is not significant. You know, he does have some upside to catch a few passes. Standard league for you, which is better, I suppose. For Singletary, not so much for CEH. Is this the old school standard league? No points at all for a catch. I still play in one of those leagues, by the way. This is like year 20 in a straight up old school standard format where you don't get a point at all for a catch. It's very different. Guys like Chubb and Walker are studs anyways, but yeah, I don't know, man. AS, I'd be looking at, it's always, what have you done for me lately? Tomorrow we will have an article at FTM Fantasy where I'm looking at buy low, sell high stock report. If you want to check in tomorrow, maybe we'll have a, you know, off the top of my head, I'm besides the wide receivers that I just mentioned that are coming off dud weeks that I think could be had, I would start there with maybe Cortland Sutton, right? It's always, I'll say this before we got a break, and we eventually will get to the game tonight, I promise. I will say this. It's easier to try to acquire players that are heading into bye weeks, especially if these people need healthy bodies right now. Like the Cortland Sutton owner, it could potentially be in a rough spot, right? They could need wins. They need somebody right now to plug in. They need a CEH as the flex play or something like that. You could make that move. You need a wide receiver. I think that would be a win for you moving forward. So target the teams that are on bye, target the teams that need healthy bodies now and also need wins. They're desperate, right? They probably are willing to lose a trade just to get some healthy bodies in their lineup so they have a fighting chance moving forward. But tomorrow, AS, I'll have some trade targets for people, some stock reports, buy low, sell high. We'll take a look at the fantasy schedule. I think now is the time to really look ahead at the fantasy schedule. I'll include week 14 because it's a big week to get into the playoffs. Week 14, 15, 16, 17. You know, 17 is a crapshoot. You make it to the finals, you make it to the finals. But that first week, 15, is a big one. We'll take a look at some matchups and see if we can find a couple wide receivers that you could potentially buy low on. Deesh has a family leg like that. He can't stand it. Yeah. Gets his older relatives to add any PPR. It's hard to do it. He says you currently have Eckler, Connor, Eno, and ETN Jr. Yeah. So you're definitely, you know, you're in a good spot. Roll out ETN and Eckler every single week. And then one of the Arizona backs is like a flex. Yeah. So try to get yourself a wide receiver. We're going to take a quick break. I promise we are getting into Browns. I got some NHL picks and props, and I'm going to revisit game 3 of the World Series, which is happening tonight in Philadelphia. Keep her locked. We'll be back in a couple. I wrote down a couple other names here that I think could be available just in case you can't watch the show tomorrow. But, you know, this is available on iTunes and Spotify. Of course, you hit the record button on the, you know, Game Plus, and you can watch back a little bit later on. You know, I wouldn't be selling high on Ayuk and DJ Moore, but I think there could be some people that are just like, yeah, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it all. You know, the DJ Moore hype. I think we talked in the show, like just the minute that CMC was traded, just great news for DJ Moore, right? I wouldn't even go back to Baker, Sam Darnold, whatever. You guys are in games with PJ Walker. You guys know, they know that those two guys are not the answer at the quarterback position. They're right there. If they won yesterday, they would have been leading the NFC South. It's just remarkable to me. But I'd be in on buying those guys or holding them, I suppose. Is Chris Godwin available? Probably not. Wandell Robinson, is he available? You know, Giants head into a bye week. I think he could do a little bit better trading Singletary or CEH. I would want to do a little. He's overhyped, Wandell. I like Wandell, but people are ranking him as a top 25 wide receiver. It's crazy. I know the Jets or the Giants don't have a lot of weapons in their passing attack, and that's why they're linked to guys like Jerry Jeudy. They need somebody. If this is a team that's going to make the playoffs and go on a run, they can't be serious with what they got at the wide receiver position. They need to address it. Getting a guy like Jerry Jeudy, I think, would be phenomenal. I would view that as a great buy low, just like Kadarius Toney to the Chiefs, a great buy low for sure. Kyle Woods, is Khalil Herbert now in the circle of trust? It's hard to put him in the circle of trust. I think he belongs in it more so than David Montgomery. We're now seeing Herbert definitely involved. I think it's starting to happen, Kyle. It's starting to happen. At the start of the season, it was one of our favorite undervalued running backs as a sleeper to target in drafts. You had to be very patient. I've had to be very patient with him as well. You know, when an injury happens, we roll him out with confidence. We've seen a couple games now where we could do that. But I believe the change is starting to happen. And don't you, Kyle, everybody here watching and listening, I think we're starting to see what is the better running back. Now, I like Dave Montgomery. I think he's a really good running back, man. He runs hard. He can catch passes out of the backfield. He is a guy that gets hit behind the line more times than not. And he turns, you know, losses into short gains. But Herbert is getting sprinkled in. He's getting some touches and he deserves the touches. So, yeah, I'd say potentially. You know, the rankings and stuff will be out this week, and I'll probably have him ranked as a flex guy, somebody that you can roll out. Daily handle, smash the like button. Always doing the work for the people as well. And I want to get to some of these questions, but I also want to, Josh, maybe we'll save that one for the next block. I want to so have three segments here, and we've got some NHL stuff to revisit as well. So I want to talk about tonight. We got the Cleveland Browns at home and the Cincinnati Bengals. Life without Ja'Marr Chase for the next few weeks. He's not placed on IR, so that's good. He could potentially come back here in a couple weeks. We had this in the tracker early in the week, Cincinnati by three. I see Cincinnati by three in some spots. There's a lot of 3.5s. I think if you can get the three, I'm in on it. You know, I do believe that this will be a tight game. I think that Cleveland will hang around in this game, but I like the Bengals here. Even without Ja'Marr Chase, I like the Cincinnati Bengals in this spot. Yeah, 3.5, like on DK and FanDuel, but you can get the three over at BetMGM, points bet, and Caesars all around a -110, -115, things like that. Burrow over rushing yards is very interesting. I like the call. I think it's at 13.5. I was going to have that one here. Actually, I think, you know, he's always sneaky for those rushing yards. I'm going to lead with Joe Mixon. And I know Joe Mixon hasn't been super efficient. And we talked about him earlier in the last week, actually. We talked about Joe Mixon and we talked about how, you know, he was number one in red zone rushing attempts among running backs inside the 10, inside the 5, but he hasn't been super efficient with those. This is a good spot for him against Cleveland this tonight. 63.5 rushing yards. I don't know if you can get that anymore. This was put into the bet tracker at 63.5. I think it's now up to maybe 65.5, 66.5. I take anything up to 67.5 when it comes to Joe Mixon. The Browns have allowed the fifth most rushing yards per game to running backs, 115.3 per game and 136 overall, which is also inside the top 10. They're allowing 4.7 yards per carry, also inside the top 10. Now, Mixon's only topped this number in three games this season, but I do expect him to kind of flirt with 20 plus touches or opportunities in this game with no T. Higgins. Maybe they lean, or T. Higgins is playing, no Ja'Marr Chase, rather. I think they probably lean on him a little bit more. And as you see, as a couple other props that I wanted to share with you guys, I like his receiving yards as well at 22.5. This is a number that he's topped in back-to-back games. And if you go look at the back of the football card, you do see a guy that's getting targets. He has at least three grabs in every game this season, and he's had at least four targets in five games this season. So again, don't be shocked if they lean on him a little bit more out of the backfield to catch, to run, and also just to get a couple of targets out of the backfield as well. I think Hayden Hurst is interesting at 3.5, his catch prop I was going to put on this board, but it's a little bit juiced. I think he can get to 4 grabs and maybe top his 36.5 receiving yards. He definitely gets an uptick without Jamar Chase. T. Higgins is a guy that just has 5 catches almost every single week without Jamar Chase. So he's had at least 5 grabs in 5 straight games, had at least 7 targets in each of those games. So you automatically expect a little bit of an upgrade for him. And then Nick Chubb, right? Nick Chubb, 80.5 rushing yards. It's also always too low. Last week it was 70. He did it pretty easily. The Browns are first in rush DVOA offense, according to Football Outsiders. He has 4 100 yard games this season, and at least 91. I guess it's a guy that just gets last week, 91. We have him for 90 yards in our projections. And then Amari Cooper's kind of hit or miss. You know, his catch prop said 4.5. I wouldn't take the over on that. I think that they'll lean on Chubb. They'll lean on the ground game here. But Amari Cooper's got a healthy 11 ADOT. He's got 35% of his team's air yards. Last week, he had 74 yards on just 3 catches. So it just goes to show that he only needs a handful of catches to get to this mark. And he has top 50 receiving yards in 4 of his last 6 games. So that's kind of where I'm at. I think Hurst is interesting for like a touchdown here. I think Bryant Harrison is interesting for a touchdown as well. With no Njoku in the lineup, we could see a little bit more. I called him Bryant Harrison. It's actually Harrison Bryant, but I think we could get a few more targets and looks. Like, look for the tight ends, maybe for first or anytime touchdowns today. And I like the Burrow call there from you. All right, quick break, and we got some NHL picks for you on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in. Tyler, if you can throw up the teams that are playing 4 games for week 4 of the fantasy hockey season. More detail over at ftnfantasy.com. As I mentioned, rankings update for sure. So just a handful of teams. There's a lot of teams actually playing just a couple games, but I got Frank Vergano here of the Anaheim Ducks. I mean, he's a volume shooter. He loves to shoot the puck. He's getting an opportunity here on the first line. You know, with the Panthers last year, he was a healthy scratch, and he had some moments definitely with the Rangers on the top line. 13 shots in his last 3 games, playing next to Trevor Zegras. He only has 3 goals on the season. But, you know, if you're in deeper leagues and you're looking for the most out of your ads to get a guy that's playing 4 games, I think he's pretty interesting, especially if you are playing leagues with the shots. I got 2 Sabres here. Victor Olofsson's got more scoring upside than Casey Mittelstadt. Mittelstadt's more of a pass-first guy, but both guys are playing pretty good for the Sabres. They're getting power play time. I think Olofsson's probably the better pickup because he's a guy that is willing to shoot the puck a little bit more and find the back of the net. Martin Natchez was all over the season-long draft kit. Love this guy. Last year, I viewed him as a breakout candidate, and this year just – I was probably a year too early because last year it wasn't that great. Last year he was averaging 1 minute per game on the power play. He was only averaging 16 minutes per game, and he was only averaging 2 shots per game. This season he's averaging 3 minutes per game on the power play. He is averaging a career high 19 minutes per game overall, 1950. That's almost a 4-minute boost in terms of ice time and 2 minutes on the power play. And he's averaging 2.7 shots per game. He's got 5 goals and 11 points. You're really missing out. Don't leave him hanging around the waiver wire. Like this, if you're taking anything away from this segment, go get yourself Martin Natchez. I mean, he is a smooth skater. He's still young. He looks great alongside Andrei Svechnikov. Adam Ernie's just like a deep league guy, a streaming guy that's playing on the first line. Dominic Kubalik, I feel like, is owned everywhere. We had him last week. You know, if you can get him, by all means, grab him. But if you can't, you're in a deep league, you're looking for something there on the top line of Detroit, Adam Ernie as for right now. The Florida Panthers, Carter Verhaeghe and Brandon Montour. Montour is really benefiting from no Aaron Ekblad. His last few games, 26, 28, 27, and 27 minutes. He's got points in 3 straight games. He's up to 8 points on the season. He's got 11 shots in his last 2 games. He's really shooting the puck. He's getting power play time. And he's just he's actually a pretty good defenseman. He's got a little bit of offensive upside to his game. Philip Deneau is just underrated. He's got 6 points. They've all come in the last 7 games. He's got like a 3 or 4 game point streak. He had a career season last year. He's going to win you a bunch of faceoffs. And then Dylan Strome. I'm not crazy about the Capitals, but Strome is centering Alex Ovechkin. Maybe that's why Ovechkin's off to a bit of a slow start. Let's rapid fire through some of the shot props. Tyler, let's throw the board up. I got a couple here for you. Tage Thompson, back-to-back games with 8 shots. He's juiced at 2.5, and so is Svechnikov at 2.5. But these are guys, they're probably my 2 favorite guys here today on the board. And then plus 138 if you wanted to put them into a parlay. For Tage Thompson, he's got a matchup here against Detroit. Detroit inside the top 5 in shot attempts allowed and shots on goal allowed at 5-5 per 60. Adrian Kempe, our guy, he's got 10 shots in the last two games. -140 is not a bad price to pay. If it gets higher than that, you may have to put it into a parlay. Jordan Kyrou is hitting every single game so far this season. I'm surprised we're getting -129. And then I just mentioned Martin Natchez, -140 for a point. He's +150 for an assist. He's +125 for three shots. So he's somebody to consider as well if you're looking for a plus money play. Also, Trevor Moore was on the board, but I read that he may not play today. But if he does play, he's plus money for three shots as well. All right, one more segment. We're going to tee up Game 3, World Series. Be back in a couple. Welcome back in. Game 3 of the World Series happening tonight in Philadelphia. We have Lance McCullers on the hill for the Astros and Noah Syndergaard on the bump for the Philadelphia Phillies. And I hate to say it, -130 for the Astros, I got to jump on it. I got to take it. I understand that Phillies haven't lost a game on home field. The place should be rocking tonight. I just feel like this is where the difference between these two teams are. I have this series going six. I like the Astros to win the World Series. It's just, this is how deep the rotation is to be able to start Lance McCullers and the bullpen. And then the Phillies, you know, having to go to their bullpen earlier than they would have liked, I think, in this series. I get the extra day off does help them. And I don't expect Syndergaard to last long in this game. That's why, you know, I mentioned off the top, maybe you can take a shot on Jose Altuve for a stolen base or Kyle Tucker for a stolen base. But I don't know. Like, Syndergaard's not a guy that, you know, is going to strike out a lot of guys. The Astros take their walks. They don't strike out. They make a lot of contact. So Syndergaard could be gone early in this game. They could get to him really, really early. So I'm going to take the Astros on the money line. Actually, like the over eight. It was 6.5 in game one. We had that one over. What was 7 runs in the last game. I think that the Astros really put up some runs here, and the Phillies could potentially get to McCullers, because the ERA has been much worse on the road, and he does sometimes get into some trouble with the walks. But ultimately, if it does get to a bullpen game, that's where I got to take the Astros. There's one Philly that I like. It's JT Realmuto over 1.5 total bases at +135. He's swinging a really good bat, and you know, with Bryce Harper behind him, he should get some good pitches. I'm an old school guy. I believe in protection. And I think that McCullers may be a little afraid of Bryce Harper, as he should be. Astros win today and the over 8 runs. Good luck today with all your picks. We'll be back tomorrow with all the rankings and some streaming options for you guys for fantasy football. Have a good one. Cheers.